Okay, Avodas Pnim, the Chelek on Tshuva Os Tes. Kishosa Adam Cheshbo Nafsho Umargeshu Meshukat Umnuval Al Yedei Avonosa. When a person makes a Cheshbo Nafesh and he feels that I'm repulsive because of my sins of Nishbar Libo Lerisisim. And his heart is broken into Rasisim, into what?
Pieces.
He's crushed to pieces. Vinishbach Libo Kamai Lefnei Hashem Yisbarach. And there's this outpouring of the soul before Hashem. At that moment that you feel so crushed, because it's an unbelievable moment of bittul. Normally we walk around thinking that we're something. When I feel utterly crushed through the tshuva process, by feeling lowly for my sins, I become incredibly close to Hashem because I've negated that independent self and returned myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Mishara Shechinaso Al Nemuchei Ruach. Because Hashem loves the Nemuchei Ruach, the lowly spirit. I'm reminded of a story now I have to tell. This is an unbelievable story. The Stipler, there was a Bacher, Nebuch, there was a Bacher, some of you might remember this story, I've definitely told him in the past. There was a Bacher who had been in many yeshivas, and he was a total failure by whatever standards the yeshiva had. And he was bouncing around, and he wasn't making it here, and he wasn't making it there. And he was mamish suicidal. He was in a very dark place because he felt like I have no purpose in this world. I'm an utter failure. And his friend took him to the Stipler Gaon. And he came to the Stipler, and the Stipler said the following to him. It's an unbelievable lashon. The Stipler said, "I swear to you, Ashvua da'araisa." This boy also had a stuttering problem. It was very difficult for him to learn. He says, "I swear to you, Ashvua da'araisa." Meaning, I'm prepared to take a sefer Torah in my hand. The Stipler Gaon said to him, "So I'm not just giving you a word of chizik, I'm telling you a fact." He said, "I swear to Yeshua the Raisa that when you learn Torah, when you break your teeth on a Mishnah, when you stumble over Eilu Matzias Shalom, Ve'elu Chayav Lahachris, you sit with a Bal Matzia, and you think, what's the point? I can barely understand anything." He says, "I swear to you that in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested in the Stipler Gaon and his learning. I'm not interested in the Brisker Rav and his learning. I'm not interested in the Avi Ezri. I'm not interested in Rav Shach and his learning. I'm not interested in the Evan Ezri. I'm not interested in Mr. Zalman Meltzer and his learning. That all the only one I'm interested in right now is this Bacher who's breaking his teeth." So he said to the Stipler, "Says who? How do you know?" So the Stipler said, "Kacha, it is. Trust me, it is." So he said, "How do you know?" So he said, "It is. I'm telling you. Stipler Gaon, I'm telling you it is." So he said, How do you know? The Stipler said, "I'm taking a Shvua d'Oraisa, I would be so mech on that. It's not a light thing to say." He said, "I'll tell you how I know." He said, "It's a Medrash." He says, "The Medrash says that the kings of the world, you go to a palace, right? You're invited to a state dinner, an opportunity to be invited to the White House, dinner with the president. You can imagine the type of kalim mikalim shonim that they're going to serve you on, right? Beautiful dishes. Nothing's going to be worn out or scratched or chipped, right?" He says, "The Medrash says in Vayikra Rabbah that by the kings of the world, they like kalim that are complete, that are whole, that are perfect. You come to, a state dinner and everything's just right." He says, "But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes kalim shvurim. Hashem says, l'chadchil, I like broken vessels. That's my kli of choice." So he says, all the tzaddikim, all the gedolei ador, right, those are the kelim which are shleimim. He says, "You're a kli shavu, you're a broken Jew." He says, "But that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses you more than anything else in the world." Amazing, no? I swear, Shvua d'Oraisa, when you learn Torah, Hashem says, "I don't care about the Stipler, I don't care about the Brisker Rav, I don't care about Rav Yisrael Meltzer, I don't care about Rav Shach, I don't care about anyone. All I care about is you." So that's what this is saying. When a person is nishbar libo l'resisim, a person is broken, he feels like, I'm nothing, I'm crushed. You should remind yourself that in that moment, you're a first-round draft pick by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're crushed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in the Nemuchei Ruach. This is the greatness of the Baal Tshuva. In a single split second, Kareva Lagabe Malchi, you can come close to the king. Remember the lashon of the Rambam? Where the Rambam says, a moment ago, you were what? You were Meshuka. Exactly the lashon of Seir Zir. You were Menuval. You're disgusting and repulsive in the eyes of Hashem. And a second later, your Ahuv and your Nechmad, your beloved, and you're endearing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is madly in love with you. A second later, that's what the Zohar says. That about Tshuva B'Shat Achad V'Rig Achad the Kriv L'Gavim Malchi could come close to the king. Aval Tzadik HaNishmar Michet U'mar B'Mitzvos Maisim Tovim Yeshu Lo L'Shaber L'Vavu L'Hashpil Daito. Why is it that the Baal Tshuva, the place that the Baal Tshuva stands is greater than the Tzadik? It means the Baal Tshuva can get closer to Hashem than the Tzadik. Why? Because the Tzadik knows he's a good guy. And a good guy means that he's somewhat of an independent thing from Hashem. Right? He feels like he's a Yesh, that he's a something. But when the person is what? When he's humble and he recognizes that he's nothing, then he can be close to Hashem. Right? It's the person who feels crushed, who knows that he hasn't even begun. There's so much more to do. As opposed to the tzaddik, he's got mitzvahs, mice, and tomi, feels like a good guy. I'll tell you a good story I told the Shal Shudis this week. The Magid one time got a knock on the door. Magid of Mezrich. So Chassad B'Kol Shavach got a knock on the door. And he comes to the door and he says, "Who is it?" Stummy said it in Yiddish. "Who is it?" So he's heard on the other side, "Ich, it's I." He said, "Who? Ich. Who? Ich, ich. Who? Shir Zalman. Oh, Shir Zalman, Baal Tanya." Opens the door, Baal Tanya comes in. He says, "Oh, you're right on time." He says, "You're right on time." He said, "It's a good thing you're Chabad." No, he didn't say this now. He says, "It's a good thing you're Chabad because I have shlichus for you." He said, "I need you to be my shliach. Sending on going to be my shliach." So he sends him. He says, "I need you to go a couple towns over. Tomorrow morning there's going to be a bris milah. I need you to be by the Suda." "Who is it?" "I need you to be, don't ask questions. I need you to be by the Suda. You'll be my shliach. I can't make it. I need you to be my shliach. Shlichus shadum kamoso. You go. Be my shliach." So he comes to this. Neighboring town. And he's sitting there by this Sudas Bris Milah. No one knows who he is. Baal Tanya's sitting there. No one has a clue who this stranger is. And they're sitting and they're eating. And at one point, the caterer, whatever a caterer meant back then, the caterer comes out from the kitchen, whatever that meant back then, and he says, they're cleaning towards the end of the Suda, and he said, "We're counting the silver, and a few pieces of silver are missing. Someone here stole silverware." They look around, they check the tables, no silver. Who has it? Someone here must be a ganav. They're empty everyone's pockets. So everyone's looking around. It's like the whole family, and then there's this stranger, Baal Tanya, sitting there. So everyone's looking at him. They say, "Anyone know who this guy is?" "I don't know who this guy is." "You know who this guy is?" "I don't know who this guy is." So the caterer comes over to him and he says, "Open, empty your pockets, you must be the ganav." So he says, "Ich bin nicht der ganav, I'm not a ganav." So he says, "You have to be the Ganav. No one else here, everyone else here knows who they are. You're the stranger. Where did you come from? What are you doing here?" So he said, "My Rebbe told me I have to come here." He says, "You're the Ganav. Ich bin nicht der Ganav. Ich bin nicht der Ganav." Finally, one of the waiters comes out of the kitchen. He says, "Oh, we recounted. We found the silver." So Baal Tanya is all embarrassed. And he's standing there and he's so ashamed. He's red in the face. And they apologize to him, but he's feeling so overwhelmed. He comes back to the Magid. And he walks into the Magid. And he starts to tell the story. The Magid says, "I know what happened." He says, "Rav Shir Zalman, why did I send you there?" He says, "Remember what happened when you knocked on my door? And I said, 'Who is it?' And you said, 'Ich, it's I, it's I, it's I.'" He says, "I wanted to teach you that in life, for every time a person says 'Ich,' a person has to say 'Ich bin nicht.' For every time I say 'I,' I have to say 'I am not.' For every single time a person says 'I, I, I,' you have to say 'Ich bin nicht,' it's not me." So the tzaddik, right, he says, "I did this for you, Hashem, and I did that for you, Hashem. I have mitzvahs, I have my simtovim." But all of those become, right, they become walls between a person and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does the pasuk say? The great var from the Kabrina, one of my friends always likes to say it. The pasuk says what? Anochi, Moshe says, "Anochi omed, I am standing between you and Hashem." So Rav Moshe of Kabrin said that the anochi, that sense of I, is omed, stands between you and Hashem. The more you say I, the more you create a wall between you and Hashem. So the tzaddik might say, "I did this, I did that," all good things that Hashem desires. But that creates a wall. As opposed to what? To the person whose mamish crushed to pieces. He's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's first choice. Rak al yedei ze zochel ha'shuras ha'shchina. She'ein ha'Kadosh Baruch Hu miskarev el l'shvur elev. Hashem loves being close to those who are what? Who are brokenhearted. U'vezeh yesh l'farish maimer chazal. So now we have a simple understanding of the maimer chazal. Brachos lamedalit. B'makom shabali tshuva omdim. Sham tzadikim gemurim einim omdim. The place where the tzaddik stands there, that's the place that where the Baal Tshuva stands, that's where the tzaddik gamor can't stand. Because he doesn't know how to lower himself. He doesn't have that midah of shiflus, of shiras halev. Ki tzaddik gadol, or tzaddik gamor, ein levavo nishpa rak acheri shemasi godol kavod Hashem. Again, the tzaddik gamor, if he knows so much about Hashem, he can get to a point where that leads to a bittul. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu became Anam Mikol Adam. Moshe knew Hashem the best, and therefore he realized how big Hashem is, and therefore he became humbled through that. So if you become really, really, really big, you could become humble in that way. But if you're like a regular, you know, Shana Aleph kid who's getting into it, you think you're a big shot all of a sudden. Right? So you don't really know who Hashem is, because you barely know anything. And you're not humble, because now you're so from. So then you become far from Hashem. As opposed to what? As opposed to the Jew, whose lev is broken very easily, because he's the Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva b'chol rega. To become the tzaddik gamor, who's also batal to Hashem, is a long process. To become a baal tshuva, who's close to Hashem, that's what the Zohar is saying. In a moment, one moment of sincere brokenheartedness, then that's everything. That's what they say. There's even the Kotzker. Right? The Torah starts with Beis and ends with Lamed. So the distance between the Beis and the Lamed is the greatest. That's the greatest shviras halev. That's a lathe that's broken apart by Kol HaTorah Kula. So when a person feels, when a person recognizes that brokenheartedness, then he has everything. That's how he gets close to the Melech. Yeah?
You say that there's like a space that you create when you have this brokenness that allows, I guess,
for sure. For sure. That's what the Gemara says. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't, there's no place, the Goran Sota says, there's no place for me in the Baal Gaiv in this world. He takes up too much space. Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Makom, which means the more space, so to speak, we give to him, yeah, the more he's here. Obviously, you know, Leis Asar Panui Minei, every space is his. But the more we try to fill that space with self, the less of a connection you have to Kadosh Baruch Hu. 100%. Yes?
A tad on top, but not really. Do you have to do tshuva for like doing a mitzvah and kind of in the road?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Like,
Parshas Kisavo, it's coming up. Vidoy Meiser. What are you saying in Vidoy Meiser? Vidoy Meiser, at the end of every 3 years of the Shemitah cycle, when I declare that my right, because the Shemitah cycle is, it's mini cycles of three and then a Shemitah year. So it's year one and two is Meiser Sheni, year three is Meiser Ani. And then again, year four and five is Meiser Sheni, year six is Meiser. So it's like these mini 3 year cycles. So at the end of each 3 year cycle, you do Vidoy Meiser. Vidoy Meiser, you declare, I'm all paid up. What's Vidur Meiser? You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I have not withheld any of my Meisos, I'm completely paid up, so all the Svarim ask. Why is that called Vidoy? Vidoy that I did everything right? Vidoy is Hashamnu Bagadnu Gazalnu. Vidoy Meiser is Hashem. I did exactly what you asked of me. So all the Svarim ask, the Belzer Rebbe, many, many Tzaddikim ask. What's the Pshat in Vidoy Meiser? So it's exactly what you just said. Vidoy Meiser is, yeah, I did what I was supposed to do, but I did it like a robot, maybe. Right? I didn't do it the way it was. I did the mitzvah, it was Yoytzeh, but that's not the mitzvah you want. Or maybe I became a Baal Gaiva from doing the mitzvah. So there's always, even for mitzvahs, a person has to do tshuva. Absolutely. That's Vidoy Meiser. Okay? Okay, Yud, turn the page. Top of the next page, Yud. Okay, interesting question. Baruch Hashem, we're all young people with all Mirat Hashem, a long life ahead of us. But what happens when a person is an old person? Can you still do tshuva in old age? At that point, you don't necessarily have the same yitzhar, you don't have the physical taivas because of the shviras haguf. So how do you do tshuva in old age? How do you do tshuva once there's no longer yitzhar for that thing anymore? Because one of the hardest parts of tshuva, and this is relevant for young people as well, is when we get into patterns. Because once a person has lived a certain way for a long time, that itself is a very difficult thing to break. To break that cycle and that pattern is a very, very hard thing to do. It takes tremendous... you ever meet like a Baal Tshuva? Someone who's like 75 years old and decided to become from that, to me, that's like one of the most inspiring things ever. You know, they have every excuse in the world to say it's too late. And to say, in old age, I'm gonna start right now. Even if you work for the rest of your life, you'll still be, you know, you'll be a beginner at best. Okay. But the person's makabel habits. But to break the hergel, to be willing to change one's way, because you're admitting to yourself that until now I didn't live a lecharchila life. That's a hard thing for a human being to say. That everything I've been doing until now was wrong. That's a super courageous thing to say. So it takes tremendous ratzon halev. Masha ein kein hahergel shumei hazikna kvar nichlas beivari ha-maisa. So when a person is right young, it's easier to change. When a person already has a certain hergel, and his limbs, every move of his body is filled with years and years of living a certain way, kashim o'od l'shnosa, it's very hard to change. V'chein re'isi b'shem ha-tzadik Rav Moshe Teitelbaum zal ki tikunei ha-tshuva shetzarech l'chol chet v'chet kamatanios. Ready? Chavra, back to what we were learning in the Geras HaTshuva. We learned that there's so many fasts that a person needs to do in order to fix. So you'll say, but if I add up all the fasts, I'm going to spend my whole life fasting. Zerak, look what he writes. Zerak l'mishachata pamachas v'rotza l'takin. This whole Indian of fasting is really for a person who, for the most part, doesn't do this Avera, and one time did this Avera. Aval imchata harbe pamim v'nishtarish b'chei, eich y'takin. You did the Avera 1,000 times, so you're going to fast a million fasts? Like, it's a shaykh. So he says, you know what your fast is? You know what's the equivalent of fasting? Again, what's the point of fasting? Fasting is what? Is challenging the body to be put in a very uncomfortable situation. Well, guess what? If your body is used to eating cheeseburgers, being Polish, having cheeseburger withdrawal is also very hard for the body. Right? A person who's addicted to an Avera and has to pull away from that, that's also very hard. The body hurts from that. El Bavnesha, Prisham and Ahariga, breaking that pattern is Koshaladim Yosem Mikola Sigufim. That's harder on the body, not just on the Shama. On the body, it's hard. Until now, I allowed my body to enjoy the following pleasures. And now, from this point forward, I'm not allowing them. That's a very hard thing for the body.
But you're giving it to the same more.
What'd you say?
And then it's like an incentive to sin more. Because you don't have to fast, and the only thing that you're getting punished is not doing the sin, which...
No, the way, again, he's saying, instead of all the fasting, if you can gain control of yourself, that's going to take tremendous physical exertion. V'zet tshuvas ha-mishkol. And that's just as good as all the fasts. Right? There's a line from the Kotzker. What was the relationship between the Kotzker and the Shem Yishmuel? We still have our picture of our Rebbe here. For those who are new, oh yeah, Shem Yishmuel is up there. You see the Shem Yishmuel? He's on the left.
Who's the one on the right?
The one on the right is Rav Shmuel Zalachar, who was the Mashkiach Ruchani for a period of time in Chachme Lublin. He was a fire, he was mamish a fire. Sefer is called Nahare Esh. But the Shem Yishmuel, yeah, our Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, what's his relationship to the Kotzker?
He was a lover.
We forget sometimes. What's the relationship between the Shem Yishmuel and the Kotzker? It's his grandfather, that's right. Because who is the Shem Yishmuel's father? The Avni Nezer. And the Avni Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzker. So the Shem Yishmuel was the Kotzker's grandson, which is why he quotes him a bunch of times in the Shem Yishmuel. So he quotes, it's somewhere in Devarim, I forget where. He says, people sometimes think, what should I do to afflict myself? Right? I read the Reishis Chachman, I read these old Sifrei Musar, and it says if you want to do tshuva, you need to afflict the body. Fasting and sigufim, and right, like the Mesillas Yesharim says in the beginning, rolling in the ice and the snow. He's saying you don't do that, but he's mentioning people have such a notion. Right? Toveling and freezing cold mikvos. What should I do? So the Kotzker said, you know what the biggest siguf for the body in the world is? I wasn't planning on saying this, I didn't get to look it up. I forget where it is in Shem Yishmuel. Somewhere in Chumash, it might be in Parshas Devarim even. He quotes in the Kotzker, he says, you know what the biggest seagull for the goof is? Being a Yid. You know, spending $15 on a hamburger when you can get a double Whopper with cheese for $1.99 and free refills on your soda. That's Mesiras Nefesh of the goof. Spending all that money and restraining the body from so many things that the street is offering the body. Pleasures of the goof. Yeah? I want to read you another piece in the Sefer. You don't have it in front of you. He has a section called Inyani Kiddush of Atar Samidos. We're learning Parakeh, which is the Tshuva section. In Parak Gimel, Inyani Kiddush of Atar Samidos, it's very relevant. Okay, because every time I'm talking about cheeseburgers, you know I'm talking about Shmiras Einayim, right? So to clarify that for all my cheeseburger muscles over the years. In case anyone didn't catch that. Everyone's like, what do you mean? I got my cheeseburger taiva totally under control. Okay, so let's talk about. So he has an Os Yud Aleph. In Os Yud Aleph here, he writes, listen to the following. Again, the section is called Kedusha Vataras Hamidos. Geder Shmira Seinayim. It's a beautiful piece. Actually, I'll tell you even another beautiful thing, which I was going to save for later in the year. I wanted to give a show of him time, a Shmira Seinayim shir, obviously, in Yana Diyoma. But you don't hold back on an Eitzah that can help the Jew. I will tell you the best Eitzah in the world for Shmira Seinayim. I only heard about it like a year and a half ago. It is the best. It is the greatest technique, in my opinion, that one can use for Shmira Seinayim. Okay, first let me read you the Avodah Sepetim. Now that I hyped it up, Gather Shmira Seinayim, who shelo ye'ein of hefker, velo yagbi ye'ein of listaka b'davar she'ein utzarecho. Shmira Seinayim, he says, starts with what? That my eyes aren't hefker. And that I don't look at anything that's not necessary. Forget looking at appropriate things or inappropriate things. I don't look at anything that's not necessary. What does that mean? If I don't need to see it, then I don't need to see it. Because it's the nature of a person, when he hears a door slam, then what does he do? He looks. He likes to see. The nature of the eyes is to always look. V'teva zet tzarech l'shaber, right? He needs to break that teva, to break that natural use of the eyes, which is to see everything. V'yarviach mizesh yeh lo kal l'tar machshavos midvar mechuarim. So once I train my eyes not to look all the time, they say a ma'isa. The Rav Elia Lopian, I think this is the ma'isa, that when Rav Elia Lopian first came to Slobodka, that makes sense. He was sitting in the back of the shir. I hope I'm getting the personalities right. Someone came to Slobodka for the first time, and they were sitting in the back of the room, and the altar of Slobodka was giving over a mimer, and whoever this person was sitting in the back, and he was like biting his nail or something like that, right? Or he was picking at some dead skin. And he said, the altar saw that this person was, again, not in control of what he was doing. Because a refined person doesn't sit biting one's nails or picking out one's skin, right? Or doing things that aren't necessary. Their bodies were so well trained that you only move your head if it's necessary. Okay, obviously this is a high madriga. So he said, you, bachur in the back, stop biting your nails. Now, what he found so amazing, the bachur in the back, it may have been Rav Elia Lopian, I'm totally off. What he thought was the most amazing thing is that when he said, you, Bacher, new Bacher in the back, stop doing that, he said, not a single person turned around. Not a single person turned their head. That's unbelievable. Right? That someone says, to the person sitting in the back, can you please stop talking? So someone in the room is going to look to see who was the person who was talking. He said, not a single person moved. That's unbelievable. So that self-control, he says, when you train your eyes, again, in any environment, not to look at things that you just don't need to see, not to read a sign on the wall that you know is not shayach to you. Just because you're waiting for an elevator doesn't mean you have to, again, if it's a sign telling you there's a sichas musar coming up, that's a good thing. But stam, just to like see more and more and more, and to read and to read and to see images more and more, again, even if they're taller, is not necessary. V'gam shmirazu tala lo b'makom tanis. Why am I reading you this piece? Because he says, just restraining the body in any way is a tanis. It's a beautiful eitzah. In our times, you don't need to fast because we don't know how to fast. We can't fast. It's just not shaykh for us. If you restrain the body, though, like the Kotzker said, the hardest, the greatest single for the body is being a yid. What did he mean by that? It means because a good Jew is constantly holding himself back. And that, he says, holding one's eyes back is tanis. Shebavadei mechuyev adam harbei tanisim. Tanisim, a person's chayev for many tanisim, like we saw from Kisvei Arizal, quoted by the Baal Tanya, Maschachot be'enav. And by holding, by being shomer as einam listakel, even by a davar reshus, who sigov gadol v'neged tivo shaladim, it's against your bodily inclination, alkein bevadeh shezeh nechshav l'tanis. So he says that's considered a tanis. Uveprat, that we're so weak in our times we can't fast, he says this is a very good eitzah. Okay? Now again, let me tell you the best Eitzah that I ever heard for Shmiras Einayim. It's from the Baal Shomer Amunim, Rav Arla Roth said this Eitzah. It's a Pashit Eitzah and it's a Gevaldik Eitzah. You're walking down the street, yeah? And you're a healthy, normal human being. Which means that if a beautiful woman passes you by, a person has a tendency to look. A person sees a poster of a model, right? A normal, healthy male with normal desires, right? Has taivas nashim, is tempted to look. You shouldn't feel that that's like an abnormal thing. That's a normal thing. That's a regular thing that every human being has. So he says, Rav Arla says, here's what you do. When a person has a moment of nisayon, it's a tremendous moment for tefillah. So you can choose at that moment, if you look away at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very receptive in that moment to a tefillah. So here's how I like to use this etza. Right? Again, you're driving on the highway, and there's a billboard in front of you, and there's an improperly dressed person, right? And she's a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman. And there's a temptation for a person to look at a picture of a beautiful woman. Right? So realize, if I can look away for a second, I can down for anything in the world right now. I know someone who's literally lying in a hospital right now, undergoing chemotherapy for cancer. If I look away, better than any Shmona Esrei, better than Ni'ila, if I show restraint right now, I can ask. And for some reason, you'll try it, you'll see. Knowing that if I look away, I can immediately ask her something is an amazing koach. It's an amazing koach. I'm telling you, you'll try. You'll see. You'll see that you'll feel very, very empowered by that, and it'll make it very easy to look away, because you'll just think, I know someone's struggling with parnasa. If I look away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give Yankel parnasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't look, help me to love learning Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't look, give someone Torah refuah shleima. Sounds very pashut, but it's a very, very powerful technique. Because again, you don't really have such a taiva to look, but again, it's normal. A person's tempted, you look at something. But if you feel that I can turn that moment into a tremendous eis ratzon and use it for asking for anything in the world, and that tefillah has a unique kalach to be poel, it's very easy to make the trade. Yeah?
Can you extrapolate that to all different areas?
Could be. It could be. Right, anytime a person holds back. Anytime a person holds back. I think so. Because they say, he said it specifically in this context, of Shmiras Einayim. And it could be the reason is because the eyes are the window to the neshama, and the eyes are such a delicate part of one's body, and the eyes are roaming so naturally, like he said here, right? The eyes are always looking. So it's very hard to constantly be looking away from the world. And turning away from temptation, but yeah, I think so. The Gemara says, "Hana'alavim ve'enam olvim." Person who's shamed by others and doesn't respond, right, has also a tremendous kach. There's countless stories of people who are publicly embarrassed, right? Someone who was publicly embarrassed. I read a story once. Someone was struggling to have children. And they went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and they asked Rav Chaim, "What should we do?" He said, "If you see someone embarrassed, that someone shames someone publicly and they hold back and they don't respond, you should run over to them and ask for a bracha." And there was a whole maisa. They were at a wedding and this person was publicly embarrassed and it was a terrible zilzal. And the person, with humility and with tremendous midos tovos, held back. And this person was there and they went over and they said, "I need you to give me a bracha. But I need a bracha from you." He said, "I need a bracha from you." And they got a bracha. And the person and his wife, after many years of not having a child, because when a person holds back, that's a bintul. And when a person mavatl himself, Nishbar Libo L'Resisim, his heart's broken into little shards, into little pieces, then he's close to Hashem. And he can ask. Yeah?
Is that Torah of Avraham and Putim
Ra? Say, yeah, why?
It's when you, it says, you feel like he's Yonos, then, because you're being Mavatl, you're on cover.
Right, Mavatl the Dam.
Right? Hashem.
Yeah? You're restoring, right, you're putting the cover. You're realigning the kavod and the kesser of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah.
It's the first thing of Nasim heard from that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
True love.
Wow.
The first thing of Nasim heard from
that. I guess that's how he was able to be mavatl himself to his Rebbe so much.
Yeah.
Because I find that Eitzah of the Rav Arla so powerful. it's such a good, you'll see.
So, it's so right. Positive.
It's so good.
It's so positive that it's just like taking an opportunity of something.
Yeah, you feel really powerful. And it just makes it easy because it's just not worth it. Like the pleasure a person gets from again that natural desire that a person has from looking at something that he knows that a Jewish neshama shouldn't look at, right? Because again, the body has naturally desires these things, but it's such a good trade, so worth it to know that I really believe that the person who's really in trouble can be helped, or someone who really needs something can get it. Then like it becomes easy to look away. It becomes easy to hold and restrain the goof. Yeah.
It seems that like kind of a big theme in all these pieces is really that a Jew can really be above Teva.
Right.
And that like this is, I feel like it's a big time in hell to realize is that like the way to do tshuva is recognizing that like I'm not bound by like society pleasures, whatever
right.
it is. And, like, so in a sense, I guess it's similar to like the time of, I guess, like. Like the 3 weeks and like all, because that, like I heard a like a day down in Torah is that like, Dafka like in the summer is when like it's fun in the sun and like everyone comes out to party and like,
sure.
We have like our darkest days and the hardest times because like, the Jew has to know that like we're above.
Right. Sam Sofer writes in the Drasha, she says, the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, in addition to getting everyone for Pesach, is really getting everyone ready for the summer. He says, Shabbos HaGadol Drasha is supposed to tell a person, watch out for the troubles in the summer. And then the Shabbos Shuva Drasha, when we get to this time of the year, is to say, you probably did a lot of bad things over the summer. And the Shabbos over is that. And now it's time to get back on track. Okay? All right, let's see. I still want to do one other thing today. So let's see if we can do maybe one or two more pieces quickly. Okay, Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Very nice here, just how he links together things. Bechinos of, again, psukim and ideas that line up very beautifully. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir, netzroa, gezer. Os yod aleph. Now we all know, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah are three very powerful techniques to what? To remove the evil of the decree. To remove the harshness of the decree. To remove the harsh decree. Pasuk says, we say every day in Kabbalah, so machas shemayim, li'avta es Hashem lokecha, b'chol levavcha, ze tshuva. He's going to say, "B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol moedecha is tshuva tefillah tzedakah." So look what he says: "Levavcha is tshuva." Why? Because the pasuk says, "Ulevavo yavin, v'shav v'rafela." Right? When the heart comes to bina, to understanding, bina is very much connected to tshuva. Right? Bina, he says, is liba. We know that bina corresponds to the heart, and bina is very much connected to tshuva. That's why the gematria of Bina is... No? Say? No? Add it up, Bina? 67. Same gematrias. Hello. Hello. Right? Bina is Tshuva, and Bina is Elul. And Elul is the Lev. Ulevavo Yavin v'shav v'rafla. What does Elul stand for? Anil Dodi Vildili. Shkach, what else? Okay, good. What else? What else? Do another famous one? Certainly an important one. Part of the tshuva process. Good. What else? Es levavcha ves levav. What is the pasuk? What's the full pasuk? I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. Right? Es levavcha ves levav zarecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll be mol, the heart. Your heart and the heart of your children. So again, if I can remove the Arla Salev, and Lev corresponds to Bina, and Bina is Tshuva, and Bina is Gematria Elul, so now it all comes together. Love Hashem with all your heart means do Tshuva. Okay, let's go weiter. Uvaha Lev Maven, the heart understands. Okay, then it says we should serve Hashem also with all of our Nefesh. Nefesh is Tefillah. Again, Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. So heart corresponds to Tshuva. Nefesh corresponds to tefillah. Why? Veshpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. Right? To pour out one's heart. To pour out one's soul. Pouring out is always a lashon of tefillah. When we daven, we pour out. Okay? To pour out my thoughts and my words before Hashem. Uvechol Moedecha, of course, is a reference to tzedakah, because Moedecha means your money. Bechol Mamoncha, zet tzedakah. Kol Asher Liish Yitain Baad Nafsho. Okay? So then he says again. So the first part again is tshuva tefila tzedakah corresponds to what? To lev, to nefesh, and to mod. So every single day when we're bekabel ol machas shemayim, we say shemayim sal Hashem elokeinu Hashem echad, and then we say v'ahavta Hashem elokecha. We're saying Hashem, we want to love you with all of our what? With tshuva, with tefila, and tzedakah. Okay, and then he makes another link. We know that tshuva is close to us. Beficha uvavavcha lasoso. So he says those three phrases also correspond to the three. Beficha zutfila. Ulevavcha is tshuva. Lasoso is tzedakah. So when you come to Rosh Hashanah Davin and you think about tshuva, tefila, tzedakah, these three things are actually very much connected to the avoda of a Jew, b'derech klal. It's connected to the Jew with regard to tshuva specifically. Beficha uvavavcha lasoso, peh, tefila, lev, tshuva, lasoso, tzedakah. Odiyei shalomar, beficha is vidoy al avanosav. Levavcha is charata al avar, sor meira. Lasoso is kabbalah al asid, ase tov. So again, the three components of tshuva, right? Confession, regret, and positive forward motion. Also, beficha is confession, levavcha is the regret, lasoso is my hope to move forward in the future. Vechein, another one, beficha is tefila, levavcha avoda shebalev, lasoso is bechinas kol atzmosai tomarna. Right, so now he shows you how all three are tefila. Beficha is tefila, levavcha, tefila is called avoda shebalev, and lasoso kol atzmosai tomarna, my whole body should be involved in the davening. V'chein, beficha is tzedakah, because a person says hare alai, makes a commitment to give tzedakah. U'levavcha is the heart, haratzon litein, the desire to give. Kol asher yitein bad nafsho. And then lasoso is that when I pledge tzedakah, no derum shalem. The Chazal say, don't only say it, but actually make sure you pay up. Okay, so again, these three phrases about tshuva can apply entirely to tshuva, can apply entirely to tefillah, can apply entirely to tzedakah, and can apply to tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah. Again, beautiful connections that he makes. Let's do one last piece, and then maybe next Sunday we'll finish up the last couple of pieces, because I want to do one other topic today still. Okay, Os Yud Beis. Ganva apum machtarta rachmana karya. A famous Maimer Chazal, which is not really in Chazal. Right. People assume this is a Gemara in Brachos. It's not exactly a Gemara in Brachos, but if you look in the Ein Yaakov, that's what he's quoting in parentheses here, the Ayin Yuv Brachos Samach Gimel Amaral, in the Ein Yaakov, Ein Yaakov collects all of the Agaritas of Shas, so in the Ein Yaakov and Brachos, he brings this Maimer Chazal. Okay, it doesn't appear exactly like this in the Gemara itself, in our Gemaras, but it's assumed to be a Maimer Chazal from Brachos. What does it mean? Ganva, a Ganav, Apum Machtarta, what's a Pum? At the mouth of the Machtarta, Habab Machtaras, the tunnel. So the Ganav at the entrance of the tunnel, Rachmana Karya. What does he do? He calls out to Rachman, he calls out to Hashem. He offers a tefillah katzara. Right? The Ganav, before he breaks into your house, he says, God, please help me to be Matzliach in stealing all this person's prized possessions. A strange thing. Right, that the Ganav is praying for success, but he's also nervous. He doesn't want to get caught. He doesn't want to end up in jail. He doesn't want the homeowner to use his Second Amendment rights to shoot the Ganav, or the Mishnah and Gemara in Sanhedrin's rights to kill the one who's breaking into your house, tunneling into your house. Before he kills you, kill him first. Right. So he's davening. What's the pshat? So says the one of Pinim. This is a very powerful vart in tshuva. Even when you're doing an Avera, you have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when you're doing an Avera, you have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what he's doing here. It's a good word. It's a very good word. When you do an Avera, right, you also daven to Hashem. When you steal, you daven to Hashem, you shouldn't get caught. When a person is doing an Avera B'tzina, you want to make sure that no one finds out about it. So we're constantly, even as we're sinning as Hashem, right, we're davening that I should be able to pull off the Avera. Whatever that Avera might be. I'll give you another way to explain it. In the beginning of the Tomer Devorah, where he's darshaning the psukim, Mikel Kamocha, Nose Avon Vover Al Peshal, Lesheris Nachalasu. He's going through those phrases that we say by Tashlech. And one of the things that the Torah and Devorah, the Ramak, or Moshe Cordovero, writes there, is that isn't it an amazing thing? That at the moment you do an Aveira, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you the physical ability to do the Aveira. And he says, Mikel Kamocha, who could be sovel such a thing? What should happen? What's the mashal that he brings? Yeravam ben Nevat. He says when the wicked Yeravam ben Nevat stuck out his hand, right, to criticize the Navi Emes, when he was using his body to say something against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what happened to Yeravam ben Nevat and the Navi? Paralyzed, frozen in place. Says the Tomer Devorah, that sounds like a unique thing that happened, but that should happen every single time we use our body against Hashem. So you're running down the street to do an aver, you should fall on your face, your feet should give out under you. You start to speak Lashon Hara, you should start to stutter, that's a warning to stop, and if you don't stop, you should lose your ability to speak. A person uses his arm, he raises his hand to strike someone else, it should be frozen in place. A Rasha, a person who raises his hand to strike someone is called a Rasha, Chazal. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to speak, and allows you to run, and allows you to do. So that's a big chiddush. And guess what? If you stop and think about it, we have Amuna and Bitachon al Hashem that He's going to give us that strength at the moment that I'm doing the Avera. So if I believe that Hashem is with me even when I'm sinning, so why do I have a hard time to believe that Hashem is going to help me to do tshuva? That's His point here. The Ganav, as he's going to do an Avera, really believes that God's going to help him, even though he knows he's doing something that God hates. So alachakam v'kama. When a person's going to do tshuva, we think, nah, I can't do tshuva. I don't have it in me. Hashem's not going to help me. Hashem helps the Ganav when he's doing the Avera. Hashem's not going to help you when you're doing tshuva. Bavada yazmin lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything that you need, call it sarchuso. And therefore, a person shouldn't be doic. That Shema al yedei tshuva, maybe through tshuva, yiyah lo hafros leparnasasa. Maybe if I do tshuva, it's going to come out of pocket. Hashem's going to cause me to lose my job, or Hashem's going to cause me to lose a client. Right? That maybe I'm going to lose money by doing tshuva in some way. I'm going to get anxious that I'm going to have to pay for this tshuva. So says the Avodas Pnim, the Ganav, as he's stealing someone else's money, has Hashem's protection. So when you do tshuva, you think you're going to lose money. Hashem's going to look out for you. Hashem's going to make sure that it doesn't come at a cost. Okay? All right, so we'll save Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, and Tezayin, and Yirtz Hashem for next Sunday.